We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's Thursday, January 26th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart New, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We have two conference championship games coming up this weekend. The two best teams in the NFC face each other, and the two best teams left in the AFC. Matt, it's going to be a glorious weekend of football. I cannot wait for Sunday. You know, the NFC has been building to Eagles 49ers. The AFC was going to be some combination of Kansas City against Buffalo and Cincinnati. I, as a Chiefs fan, I'm glad it's the Bengals because the Chiefs need to beat the Bengals to earn the right to go to Super Bowl. Plus, it ends this idea of a neutral site conference championship game, which I absolutely hate. And so we have these two great games this weekend. I'm excited for these, and we'll talk all about them today. We'll get you ready for the action this weekend on Sunday. And I'm pumped, buddy. I'm excited.
Me too. Usually the best games of the year are these championship games. Just want to say, you know, your brother was on Good Morning Football today and you're here with me. And I just wanted to check in and just see how that was feeling.
Mitch is not, Mitch should be here though, right? This is really the more important show.
We've both been on Good Morning Football before. Like, well,
different,
you know,
roles.
It's harder to get an invite to this.
Did you ever book me when I was there?
When
you were there, would I ever go on the show when you were there?
Yes. And I booked you on it before the season this year. Remember? You talked about like Jacksonville tanking. Maybe that was last year. God.
It must have been 2 years ago.
Man. Was that actually? Yeah, I don't know.
It was 2 years ago. I didn't go on this year. I haven't gone on much this year. I went in last year for the Super Bowl. I think it was the last time I went on.
Yes.
And out
here in LA.
In Los Angeles. But, yeah. You know, like this year, I could probably get back on, but it's at 5 a.m. and I just don't want to wake up that early. Get ready.
Early show, man.
I'm going to be like a little bougie about that. Like if it was Super Bowl's in the East Coast time zone, great. I'll wake up at 5 o'clock and hop on over there and get on. But, you know, I'll leave. You know, my brother's the big dog, man. He's got that ring. He's the all pro. He can hit up Good Morning Football and we can talk about football on the Jeff Schwartz Smart New podcast and get people ready for the action this weekend.
That's right. Your shot not quite as zoomed in as Mitch's. Mitch's shot was extremely zoomed in. I was taking pictures. If he's listening, I hope you take that in good fun.
I don't think he's a big listener to the podcast. Maybe he is.
Sounds like a Mitch problem to me.
It does. We'll find out actually, because he'll let me know.
All right. Well, great. This will be how I'm sure that you've never discussed me with him before. And now he'll know me as the guy who said a shot was too zoomed in. No problem. He's only a professional offensive lineman. What's the worst thing that could happen to me? All right. Let's talk NFC Championship first. That's Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern. Let's see. Latest line I'm seeing. This one's been pretty steady. This says Eagles 2.5, which is actually a little higher than I've seen. Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, that's what it's been at for a little bit of time now. I think it bumped up fairly quickly to 2.5. I don't think it gets to 3. You know, the thing about these lines, guys, I've learned this over the years now. I've been fortunate enough to work with a professional gambler named Bill Krakenberger. That's what he does for a living. And I do radio with him on Saturdays. Like, legit. Like, not like one of these guys that, like, sells you, like, the whale pick of the week. He's legit in, like, a group that wagers, and they move lines about it. He will text us, hey guys, I'm going to wager on the Eagles -2.5. You better take this now. It's going to move in 8 minutes. And in 8 minutes, the line moves because he has wagered on it and the books have corrected themselves to get money from the other side. Like, he is a mover and shaker in the industry. And he has taught me that a lot of the action that happens basically between the first couple of minutes of when the line comes out and mostly on Sunday is all public money. Like, right now, there's not a lot of sharp players coming in strong. It's a lot of public money batting back and forth. And then come Sunday is when a lot of them pounce. And so we're going to get to Chiefs Bengals in a second. So the money right now to me is like, oh, you're batting this between 1.5 and 2.5. Like, okay. And but 2 now is more important than it's ever been because of the 2-point conversion stuff, right? It used to be where 3 was so important. 2 now, 2.5 is important. You go for 2 a couple times, and now the number falls on 2 and not 3. So we're thinking about here. What's your first lean on this game?
This is the one I feel more confident in than the AFC game.
Let me hear it.
It's Philly.
Yes, it is Philly. You are correct, sir.
Oh, I'm correct. Well, yes. Make your case. I'll make mine.
Oh, well, the Eagles are better. That helps. Yeah, that's my case. Here's my case. So let's start with quarterback, right? The most important position in all of sports. The Eagles are better, right? The Eagles offense wins because of Jalen Hurts, right? The offense is Jalen Hurts. He is the reason why the offense goes. Yes, they have good weapons. They have an offensive line. It's all true. But the offense is built around his skill set, right? It's built around what he can do, throw the ball deep, take shots, play action pass, and run the ball. We saw against the Giants, he ran the ball more, but I figure as he's getting healthier, he'll run the ball a lot more against the 49ers, okay? And the Niners aren't great against defending quarterback RPOs. I mean, you know, you could dig deep in the weeds if you want on some of these numbers. So he's a better quarterback, okay? The Niners offense wins with Brock Purdy, not because of Brock Purdy. Those are differences, right? The Eagles offense wins because of Jalen Hurts. The Niners offense wins with Brock Purdy, okay? And we saw last weekend when he gets a little bit of pressure, when things aren't perfect, you don't get the same Brock Purdy. That throw to Kittle was great and all. He threw that ball across the field. That ball gets intercepted in the link. It gets picked off in Philadelphia if he makes that throw. I saw that they said he started 7 games, 2 on the road, 1 in Seattle, very loud, very hostile place. They only scored 21 points there. It was one of their least effective offensive games. I saw a report that we were preparing to play Philly while we played Seattle, the crowd noise. Okay, sure, but that was like 7 weeks ago. A little different now. You've been on the road or in Vegas, I think it was, since that time, at home or in Vegas. Different atmosphere now. You're going to Philly, loud place to play. It's going to, and get, yes, here's what the noise does. Let's say that you are in your office building. And again, like, you're trying to talk to you're trying to communicate to someone else and you just can't hear them. Like, you literally just can't hear. It's not about snapping the ball, really. It's not even about when the play is happening. It's the communication between you and your coworker. You can't hear them. And then when things start going poorly, you start thinking about things and you can't think clearly because it's so freaking loud. It's going to be that way in this game. Now, you know, 3rd and 12, I need to talk to my offensive line. I need to talk to my running back. I need to figure out what's happening. Now the noise is pouring down on me. Oh my God, the clock's running out. What do I do? Snap the ball. And it kind of snowballs from there. So Purdy's not been that environment. And I refuse to believe that a guy making the A start is going on the road, Matt, into Philadelphia and playing well under these conditions.
I couldn't agree more. That's the main, that's the crux of my case also. You know, we've mentioned this a bunch, and maybe this is the week it actually is helpful. No rookie quarterback has ever gotten further than this. There have been four quarterbacks who've gotten to the championship round. Do you know who they are? There's
actually
four.
I don't really. I've never, no.
So I'll go in from most recent to furthest back.
Okay.
Most recent was Mark Sanchez in 2009.
Okay.
With the Jets. 2008, the Ravens, Joe Flacco. 2004, Ben Roethlisberger. 1999 with Tampa, Sean King, who the younger folks, who Boss Hank listening in probably doesn't even know. I think he started a game against the Commandantes in those playoffs.
He thinks Sean King is the grifter on Twitter.
Sean King, the once kind of reminds me of Brock Purdy, thinking back, right? Like he was like out of nowhere, and then he relieved Trent Dilfer, who was kind of maligned like Jimmy G, but then they ended up getting the championship. Anyway, all four of those teams lost. The other thing that's kind of interesting is all four of those teams had top three defenses. The Jets had the number one defense. The Ravens had number three. Pittsburgh had number one. Tampa had number three. San Francisco is a very similar team with a very good defense and rookie quarterback. I don't think that it's possible to outscore Philly at home with a rookie quarterback, with a bunch of injuries. Like Debo came back, obviously, but he is not 100%. He was a limited participant practice Wednesday. And I just think like Philly has been one of seemingly like the easiest bets all year when they're a home favorite. Jalen Hurts, 15-1 this season straight up as a favorite. He's 20-3 straight up. And this is essentially, I mean, it's 2.5. There's, you know, a key number there at 2. But you're getting a pretty low score here for a team that I think across the board, with a few blue chip exceptions, is better. Like you said, they just are. Yeah. And Jalen Hurts, you could argue, was maybe the best quarterback of the whole season this year. Then he missed some time.
Yeah.
So I just think that this just doesn't feel like a game San Francisco wins to me, mostly because of Purdy.
So it's worth noting a couple other things that are important in this game. I wrote about this for Fox Sports. If you want to check, I wrote three reasons why the Eagles will win this game. We talk a lot about offensive defensive line. It's gonna be an old school game, it's a trenches game, which is funny because the next game is also that way. It doesn't feel that way because we talk so much about the quarterbacks in that game.
Sure.
But they all are. It's funny. You get to this point, and guess what? It's like some good offensive defensive lines. What a surprise. So the Niners pass rush we know is really good, right? And but the Eagles offensive line is the best in the NFL. You have two Hall of Famers on that offensive line. Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson. Lane's a little hurt, so that matchup against Bosa is going to be important. We'll see how healthy he is to play this game. And the other three guys are Pro Bowlers, they're not starting Pro Bowlers. They're alternates: Jordan Mulata, Dickerson, and Isaac at right guard. So you have this group of five offensive linemen that can handle the Niners pass rush. Now the Niners are going to win some, but they're not going to win all of them like they do all the time. You have this offensive line that can win this. Now, Matt, did you know the Niners offensive line only has one Trent Williams, not five Trent Williams?
Bingo. Yeah.
I feel like we forget that. They have one Trent Williams, who is the best in the NFL. So take him out of this, right? Guess what, guys? The Eagles' best pass rusher rushes over the right tackle, though. And Hassan Riddick is, I think I looked up, seventh in the NFL in pressures for a defensive end this season. Javon Hargrave, a D tackle, is third in the NFL in most pressures for defensive tackle in the National Football League. It's like Chris Jones and someone else. I'm probably blanking on who. It's not Donald this year. And then boom, the Niners offensive line outside of Trent Williams is not that good. They're buoyed by their offense. Like, their offense puts them in good positions. If they can't run the ball, they're going to be in spots where they're getting rushed. And Purdy's in a situation where he's scrambling at the pocket, which we saw early in the Cowboys game, not as effective. Also worth noting here too, Matt, that you know, in these games when the line is very close and you're playing in these kind of close fires, you know, games, the fringes matter a lot too, right? And if you look at the numbers, and this is digging very deep into numbers, but the red zone efficiency, Eagles are better. They're better overall, offense and defense, compared to the Niners. Again, we're digging deep into the fringes here, right? But what do the Eagles do better than the Niners? fourth down and 2-point conversion. Like they are better than the Niners. I talked to a buddy of mine who's a Niners guy this week, and he said Shanahan just coaches to survive. He just coaches to get through the game. Sirianni doesn't do that. He coaches to win the game.
Yep.
And that's a big difference, right? Like if it's fourth and two at the 32-yard line, the Eagles are going for it. We're going to score, try to score 7 points. They may not get it, and that might cost them the game. But they might get it, though. Niners kicking a field goal. And that's a big – that's a could be a four-point swing. Yeah, it could be a three-point swing if the Eagles don't get it. But if they do, with Jalen Hurts' ability to run the football and all options they have, Matt, that's a huge difference in this game, and that could be the difference. Kyle Shanahan is historically conservative and has failed in some of these moments. Now, we don't know what Sirianni will do. He's not been in this moment before. But we know throughout this season – he has done a very good job at making sure that he takes advantage of the fourth down opportunities presented to him and is aggressive in those moments when he has to be. The Niners are not, and that's a big difference in this game.
I think one other way that that bears out, when you watch Philly games, I feel like every Philly game I watch this year, first drive, bomb, touchdown. Second drive, touchdown. Third drive, touchdown. Like they come out scorching hot all the time. And that's a nightmare if you're the 49ers, right? Like if Jalen Hurts comes out and looks amazing and throws the ball down the field and Brock Purdy's down two touchdowns, which could conceivably happen because Philly, highest scoring first half team in the league.
Yeah.
San Francisco six, by the way. I mean, these are two really good teams, but you do not want to be playing from behind if you're the Niners. You'd want to be able to control this thing on the ground and not put Purdy in a position to kill you. So this is the one that it just became clear to me today, actually. I was just sort of like, you know what? This is Philly's game. We're going to see them in the Super Bowl. I feel much more confident about this game than the next one. And I almost feel like what I might end up doing, Jeff, is betting Philly against each of the teams and seeing if I can like hedge around it or something. You know, it does feel like this is happening.
I mean, I think there's a way to take the Niners live in this game at some point, right? If the Eagles get up 14 points, I mean, you might have a good opportunity to take them live. But I think the next game is a great live opportunity. Like, you just take whoever is losing in the second quarter plus the points. That's just like, just who's ever losing. We've seen now, as we move to Chiefs and Bengals game, where the Chiefs have been up 18 points, the Bengals came back. And this year, the Chiefs were down 11 points, I believe it was, and the Bengals came back. Or the Chiefs came back to lead this game. Chiefs have lost three straight to the Bengals, Matt. They have led by at least 7 points in all three of the losses. And they have had a 75% win expectancy in the fourth quarter at 1 point in the fourth quarter in all three of the losses. They lost all different ways, right? The first one was in Cincinnati. The second one was in Arrowhead. And the third one, again, was this season in Cincinnati. What makes the Bengals so tough, before we get to kind of the overall gist of this game, is that they don't make mistakes, okay? They really don't. They have only turned the ball over 18 times this season, and five of those were in week one against the Steelers, a game that we got right. We picked the Steelers in the game. So they have 13 the next 16 weeks of the season, 16 games of the season. 13. That's really good. That's awesome, right? They don't have a lot of penalties. I looked it up. They're tied for the 7 least amount of penalties against and 3rd least amount of yards against. So when they commit penalties, Matt, they're not the pass interferences. They're not the personal fouls. They're not the killer penalties. And they don't give up a lot of explosive plays on defense. Like when you watch a play, you're not like, oh, that guy's wide open, or there's that explosive run. Like they're just a quality football team, right? And so that's why they're here. They're here for obviously the other reasons that we're talking about in a second, but they're a team that scares me as a Chiefs fan because of those reasons. But that being said, the Chiefs have been in all these games. Like they have not been blown out. They lost two of them in overtime. One overtime, both at the end of regulation, I think it was. They've lost them like the very end of every game, no matter how they end up happening. So all that being said, the Chiefs are right there to win this game, Matt, and I don't know who I feel great about wagering on.
Interesting. So that means you're a little nervous about the Chiefs then.
Well, I mean, here's why I'm nervous. I can go, okay. So first of all, before we get to that, This whole Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow discussion is so stupid. Okay, guys. Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. Joe Burrow, second best. Allen, third best, whatever. It's not that difficult discussion. Pat Mahomes is the only quarterback right now still playing on a second contract. They got rid of his best wide receiver. Now, Kelsey's still there, obviously, but they got rid of his best wide receiver. He's playing with Kelsey and then a bunch of twos and threes. All right. They've already undergone the transformation of the offense under a quarterback on a second contract. Joe Burrow is still playing with all his weapons that haven't been paid yet. They have to pay. They have to pay everybody. So let's see Joe Burrow. And I think he'll be great. But let's see him with two less of his weapons. Like, let's see him without one of his weapons for an entire season. Like, I think that we are discounting what happened to the Chiefs. Matt, I was a voice of reason. I know Nick Wright was a voice of reason, who also is a friend of yours. Those are the only two voices of reason. When Tyreek Hill got traded, oh my God, the Chiefs, it's over. It's done. They're off. They were number one in the NFL in every category this season. Pat Mahomes had his best season this year. He's throwing to Noah Gray and McKinnon, who entered the season as a third-string running back who had 70 targets. And I looked this up. Juju had like 70 catches, which I didn't even realize was a thing. MVS had 40 catches. And Kadarius Toney, the guy in the middle of the season, had 14 catches. And McCole Hardman's been hurt half the year, had 29 catches. Sky Moore had 15. Like, it's not Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Boyd and Hayden Hurst. Now, of course, Travis Kelce is fantastic. It's a huge benefit to have Travis Kelce there. We know that. He's a Hall of Fame player. Maybe best than ever. But this idea, like, Burrow hasn't had to do this yet. Mahomes did that. And it's still really good. So this is still a conversation. Mahomes could have 500 yards in this game. The Chiefs can still lose. It doesn't mean that Mahomes is worse than Burrow because the Chiefs lose this game. But that would be the offseason narrative. It is what it is. I mean, I can't change it, but that will be the narrative. So here's what concerns me about this game. Many things. One is, you know, if Mahomes is not healthy, 100% healthy, which he'll be, I think he'll be close. It looks like he'll be close, okay? You know, the Bengals do a really good job of just kind of like squeezing the pocket around him when they rush. And they play this zone, man. Like, they kind of just like constrict the field. And this is the game he will miss Tyreek Hill more than any other game. He doesn't have that one wide receiver. Again, you double Kelsey and you say, if I were the Bengals, I'd say every single play, double 87, make someone else beat us.
Yep.
Anybody but him. MVS, Juju, Watson, any running back, just not Kelsey. And that's what happened the first half of the game in Cincinnati. So what answer do the Chiefs have? Now they have Mahomes less mobile. So what answer do the Chiefs have? I mean, this has to be Andy Reid masterpiece. And I trust that Andy Reid will get his team ready, but it has to be an Andy Reid masterpiece against the Bengals. And the Bengals know this as well. The Bengals know the Chiefs have to do this. I would like to see the Chiefs run the ball more, Matt. They ran the ball well in the first game. Second game, third game, they run the ball. Just run the ball more. Play action pass a little bit. Try to get the Bengals linebackers into situations where they have to guess if it's run or pass. Hit it behind that. But in the end, the Chiefs offense, I think, will score their amount of points needed. The question is, can the Chiefs defense get off the field? They put a bend but don't break in the first game this season. Yeah, they didn't break, but they also didn't get any stops. Like, they didn't get any stops. They tackled terribly. Now, to be fair, since then, they have tackled much better. They have been a better team. They took Williams out of the lineup, and they have played mostly two rookies now on the defensive backfield. By the way, Trent McDuffie has played 12 games this season, okay? The rookie. He is the Chiefs are 11-1 when he's in the lineup, and I think the Bengals game was the only loss. They're only allowing 206 yards passing versus 313 yards passing. 58 completion percentage for 68. Kind of see where I'm going here, right? Mm-hmm. QBR 50 versus 61. Yards per attempt, 7.4 versus 6.1. Like their defense is better than it has been. But they can't play as bend but don't break. Like, you have to challenge Burrow and the Bengals offensive line, who's probably not going to have their starters back this week. The Chiefs have to influence them. Like, they have to get Burrow down. They have to influence them. And it appears that that doesn't matter. So I don't feel great the Chiefs can stop the Bengals offense. If they can't get stops, they're not going to win the game. That's a lot of words, but that's kind of where I sit with this game right now.
I think it's a lot to dig into. I think you're right. And these games between these two teams have been so memorable. Joe Burrow in his career has 5 fourth quarter comebacks. He has 7 total fourth quarter comeback wins. 3 of them are against the Chiefs. And he's obviously undefeated against them. And last year's playoffs in Kansas City was one of them. For whatever reason, these games seem to all go kind of the same, which is the Bengals have to come back. The Chiefs get a pretty comfortable lead. They do the thing that the Chiefs do that drives me crazy watching them, which is they get a little bit too cute. They do these dumb running plays that don't do anything. They don't just sit there and go like, cool, 2nd and 6, power left. You know, like they're just not that kind of team. They've never been that kind of, Andy Reid's never been that kind of coach. And it's, you know, been him in these situations before. There was a time where it used to be, hey, Andy Reid can't make it out of the conference championship that was like the whole thing until the Mahomes first, the Super Bowl. I thought it was fascinating watching the line movement on this week. It opened at 3 with the Chiefs as a 3-point favorite, which felt fine. I think that I think that the Bills being so overrated juiced it a little bit, that this was probably, they made this around 4. And then everybody came in on the Bengals because everybody, again, overrated the Bills. And I think this discussion about Burrow and Mahomes, it's a little easier to understand Burrow than Mahomes, like for the average fan. I know that seems like kind of counterintuitive, but like we've seen Joe Burrow before. This is what Tom Brady felt like, right? This is kind of what Peyton Manning felt like. Like all these guys who are just like stand in the pocket, accurate. That's how they beat you. Mahomes does stuff every week where you're just like, well, I've never seen that. Like, I don't know what that is. And I, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just a little harder to wrap your head around it.
Burrow's more traditional, that he kind of the pocket passer, but also we do this thing, and it's, and I don't like to compare Patrick Mahomes to like a LeBron James, but I think we're desensitized to Patrick Mahomes' greatness. Matt, he has started 5 seasons and he's in his 5th AFC Championship game at home.
Yeah, it's insane.
He has yet to play a road playoff game. I saw someone today say, like, well, if he loses this game, he'll have the most home playoff losses ever. I'm like, or the most home championship losses ever. Okay. He's 27. I mean, he's only played in these games. Like, and they've all, by the way, his 2 losses have been in overtime by a field goal. Well, actually, sorry, the Patriots won a touchdown that game in 2018. Like, okay. He has had 1 season where his defense was above average, and that was 19, and they were 14th in DVOA, and he won the Super Bowl. It's such a silly discussion. The reason why the line moved so much, in my opinion, is because people overreacted to the Mahomes ankle injury, and Tony Romo was saying he wouldn't play. Like, the thing about gambling now, because it's so mainstream, is people get the wrong ideas about some of these line movement stuff, man. A number being bad around between 2 and 2 is nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It didn't get to 3 either way. And it opened offshore at 3 for literally that much time right there. That's as much time as it was at 3. It opened in Vegas at like 1.5, and everyone's open at 3. Not really. It was like 1.5 in like circa, right? And then it got to like 1.5 the other side. Now it's back to Chiefs favored by 1. Like, it's just a bunch of people batting the number around back and forth. I don't like, by the way, in the biggest jinx of all time, did you see that sports book who paid out their Bengals futures already?
No.
They're the official sports book of the Cincinnati Bengals. Betfred, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And they paid out all their Bengals futures to win the Super Bowl already. And the liability must have been nothing, right? I mean, there's no way they're doing this unless it's like near nothing, right? But how big of a jinx is that? To pay out they're hopeful that you take the money you've won and bet it again this weekend, I would imagine, or next weekend and whatever else. But how much of a jinx is that? The official sports book of the Bengals is paying out Bengals to win the Super Bowl before they even beat the Chiefs. And it's funny that the Bengals fans whined on social media about the NFL rigging the games for the Bills and Chiefs to play each other in the neutral site game. And then they're accepting and cheering on getting money for a game that hasn't even been played yet.
I mean, I'm sure that every Chiefs fan has been measured and composed, and that there has been no flaws in how they've comported themselves in this situation.
No, not at all.
I did want to say, this blew me away. Another producer here mentioned this to me today. Patrick Mahomes has fewer losses in his career than Burrow does. Think about that. Burrow's in his third season. Mahomes is on his second contract, as you said. Like, he has had an unbelievable historic start to his career. And you compared him, I think, to LeBron. Like, I think he's the Steph Curry of basketball, honestly.
But my point is, like, the LeBron thing, where LeBron's the MVP every year. Like, this year, he's averaging, what, 32 points on a bum-ass Lakers team, and he won't even get MVP votes?
Right.
Like, he's 40 years old? Like, come on. Come on.
And it's right. And I think, you know, you could probably say the same for Steph Curry, where it's just like, what is that team without him?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And it's like, in last year,
I think both of us. Did you throw his mouthpiece last night?
Yeah.
Does he expect not to get thrown out when you chuck your mouthpiece across the court? Like,
talk about, like, guys played like 8 million career games. He's going to get thrown out at two. Like, it's fine. He's not a bad guy.
I know.
But honestly, I mean, last year, it's funny because last year when the playoffs started, I put in a bunch of rundowns for Nick and bet the Warriors to win the title. It's like, Steph Curry's there. Like, guys, this isn't that hard. Like, look at the rest of the field. He's going to win.
Oh, I'm with
feel
you.
Like that's maybe how we should be looking at this with Mahomes, where it's just like, hang on, we've got Mahomes in here. What are we doing? Should we just go ahead and just lay a point with him at home? Who cares about the ankle? It's Patrick Mahomes. Like, there is a big part of me that wants to do that. I'm curious what you think.
Well, yeah. So my basic Chiefs thought is, like, the law of averages sort of works in the NFL. Like, you know, the Vikings, 11-0 one score games. Oh, guess what? They lost their one score game in the playoffs. What a surprise.
Right.
Like, the Chiefs have had a 75% win expectancy in three of their losses in the fourth quarter against the Bengals. All three of them. Plus, I know this is a silly way to think about this, but the Bengals players are talking a lot of shit right now.
They are.
And that's, the NFL humbles you very fast. Like, it is a very humbling sport. And you call a Burrowhead, I said on Twitter, the Bengals deserve to talk all the shit they can talk. They have dominated the Chiefs. They own the Chiefs. They are allowed to do this. And I commend them for doing it. But also typically bites you in the ass. Like, remember this year when Justin Reed came out before the Bengals game, was like, I'm going to cover 88 or 87 or, like, I don't know, the tight end, whatever.
Yep.
Like, just Just let your talk do it. Look, man, any result would, except a blowout either way, would be surprising to me, would not be surprising to me. But I think the Chiefs, it's sort of, if it doesn't go right this year, when does it go right for them in this game? You know, like, this is, also there's this idea that, I've never been on a team like this, I can't speak to this, maybe my brother can, we should call him to get him called. We'll zoom out of his face to have him come on here. But, you know, like, the Chiefs basically have waited 365 days for this game. You know, they have their whole offseason was to play in this game again. They did the whole regular season, Matt, to play in this game again. I know the Bengals did in a sense too, but, like, the Chiefs thought all offseason, Bengals, 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 Bengals. We need to beat the Bengals, 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 Bengals. They're here again at home hosting the Bengals. And so I wonder if that's part of it. Well, I also look at the under in this game. It dropped a lot, though. It was like 51 and dropped all the way to 46 or 47. So not as great now to play it, in my opinion. I would have taken it at the 51. I kind of missed on that one there as well. So I'm not sure that I can give that one out. And now a couple props in this game. And again, I haven't done as much prop. Joe Mixon over 3.5 receptions, I'd like a lot in this game. The Chiefs don't cover the back terribly well. And the Bengals have done a good job of throwing the ball to the running backs since Jamar Chase's injury, honestly. And I would also look at the thing about when you have running backs kind of split rushes, it's always hard to take the over in rush yards. But I really think there's a possibility here for the over in the rush yard. So he's had, you know, Mixon's had a couple games this year. He's been over the 3.5. It's a steep number for him at times. So I look in that direction. Mahomes over 280 passing yards. I wager on that already. I also think there's someone other than Kelce has to have a big game.
Yep.
If you could figure out who that is, whether it's like Kadarius Toney, who I think had a he played pretty well last weekend. If he's the guy, like I would look at his numbers for if you could get like a rushing and receiving prop together for him, if that number is at what do you think it's going to be at 65, 70? That would be more than he's had all season, I think. Last week was the most he had all year for combined yards in a game. Yeah, last weekend he had 52 yards. I don't know what his number would combine prop, what a rushing total would be. Toney feels like a number, Matt. Like that feels like a guy that they've been waiting to sort of break him out. And he's the shiftiest player they have. Like if you're to say, okay, who's the guy that's most like a Tyreek Hill? Like who can make the most plays of that ilk? Like who's got like just like get the ball, just like go. It's him. But those numbers aren't really up yet, I don't think. So
it's just crazy that we're talking about how badly they need Kadarius Toney. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no,
they don't need him, but I know what you're saying. It's like they need somebody other than Kelsey. And,
well, Mecole Hardman's supposed to be back too. That'd be very helpful for them as well.
It's just kind of crazy. Like when you just zoom out and you know, you take the quarterbacks out, and we hardly even discussed offensive and defensive line here, and we should. But when you just talk about the Bengals, what makes the Bengals great? There are so many ways they can beat you on offense, and it's not complicated why they're here. And you look at the Chiefs, and it's the same thing. It's just like Mahomes, read infrastructure, and like let's be honest, they had so many games this year where it felt like it could have gone either way at the very end. And 90% of the time, I mean, I'm just looking back at their schedule. They had a 3-point game against the Chargers that they won that wasn't that close. They lost to the Colts in a 1-possession game. They beat the Raiders by 1 in that crazy game. They lost that game to Buffalo. They blew out the 49ers. The Titans game went to overtime. The Chargers, again, was a 3-point game. The Bengals was a 3-point loss. Like, every game is kind of the same where they're just – it comes down to, like, can Mahomes pull them out of it with a crazy thing at the end of the game? And honestly, like, they haven't really been tested since that 49ers game. I mean, Jacksonville last week obviously was a test, but pretty easy drive, I think you could argue. And the Bengals, it's just like, okay, who's got a defense that can stop that amount of weapons? And, you know, the offensive line injuries, for some reason, it just doesn't seem to matter with them. Like,
I mean, in theory, Chris Jones should have a good game today.
He, I think, is the key of this entire thing. It's like, if Chris Jones can get home and Burrow's uncomfortable and they have to do something that isn't just sit there and pop them off to the three receivers, then I think the Chiefs could win this game more comfortably than anyone expects. But, you know, it's not, I don't know, at this point in the season, with this good of a defensive coordinator in Cincinnati, like it is not complicated what the Chiefs need to do. And if you're in a position where you're like, cool, make Kadarius Toney and Noah Gray beat us, like that's a nice spot for them.
Noah Gray can though.
Sure. But so he can, but it's really about Mahomes. I just think, you mentioned like, well, if they can't get the monkey off their back this year, when can they do it? The shit talking that Cincinnati's been doing is, I think, very concerning if you're backing the Bengals. But I actually think like this is kind of the Bengals' year. It's almost all in or bust here, more so than the Chiefs. The Chiefs, as our friend Nick says a lot, played more rookies than anyone this year except the Bears. Like the Chiefs are still ascending. They're to keep with the Warriors metaphor, they're reloading as they rebuild, right?
Well, they certainly are. I mean, they're in the best spot of any contender in a long time. They put four rookies on defense, and they have like $100 million in cap space, and their quarterback's already paid.
Yeah, they're great. This is not it for them. And the Bengals, like, you know, it's at some point you'd think their defensive coordinator gets the job. Like, you'd think that they're going to maybe lose, I don't know, Boyd or somebody, like, you know, with all the money that they're going to have to allocate to their receivers and Burrow, obviously. I don't know. The more we talk about it, the more I feel like the Bengals probably win, but it's so scary to go against Mahomes at home as either a short favorite where he's amazing or as a home dog where he's only been a home dog once in his whole career. I don't know. I still don't know what I'm going to do here.
I'm going to sit this one out.
All right. I'm going to go on record and say I'm going to take the Bengals.
I said the Chiefs are going to win 24-23 in the article I wrote, but that's more like my heart talking. I think it's a 3-point game either way. Like, I think it's within the number, like or close to a 3-point game either way. I don't know.
It's going to be crazy. I mean, if Mahomes is at 85%, that's concerning. We need for the Chiefs to win.
No, he's not going to be 100%.
And I think you need him to be close.
Yeah, but you can get, dude, I'm telling you, like, you can have like this, like, Andy Reid, just like vintage masterpiece game from him. You could have that pull out of, like, this could be that game, man.
It could. It could also be the game where you're like, wait, remember how Andy Reid could never win a big game? Like, it could be that. The, like, what needs to happen for each side, it feels like more needs to happen for the Chiefs to win than needs to happen for the Bengals to win, to me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anything, because we're going against, you know, one, maybe one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I cannot wait.
It's gonna be a great game. I mean, we just spent a long time talking about it. We're still like, I don't know.
And I think that's what makes it so much fun. And that game feels like it's gonna be great, man. I cannot wait for these games this weekend.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We hit some props. Do you have any more? I mean,
I haven't gone there. Like I say this like every year, like I want to do more props, but I don't have to, for work. I don't really have to do them. So like, I don't really do very much. I do a lot more on Sundays when I start looking kind of around. Anyone's you like?
I kind of like, I think I might bet Jalen Hurts Super Bowl MVP this week. Get +300 on that, because if the Eagles win, and I'm pretty convinced they will, then he will be the favorite, maybe co-favorite to win the MVP next week or 2 weeks from now. You could do the same with whatever quarterback of whatever game you're most confident in, like Burrow's at 350. That's also a really good one, because if the Bengals get there, he's winning the MVP if they win the game. I like McKinnon 2 touchdowns +1300. He's been an absolute weapon for them in the red zone. Feel like that's, you know, that's not one you bet the house on, obviously, but pretty nice return. We mentioned the total, the AFC game came in really high and kept dropping and dropping and dropping. So you'd think that's going to head to the under. I keep wondering if there's a tease where you could tease down the points in that game and take the over, but I can't figure out what it would be because I'm not teasing through zero.
Look, when the Chiefs were at getting 2.5 points, I teased them with the Niners. I mean, like I had to. I felt like I was like to get 8.5 points. I felt obliged. Like if I didn't do that, the gambling gods would come down and spite me.
Yeah.
I had to think, and I didn't even want to do it. I think the Niners could lose by more than, what would that be, 7.5? So like, but I did anyways. I just couldn't help myself. But the Chiefs, I couldn't find any other way to take the value in that. I just couldn't do it. One basketball thing very quickly. Are you a basketball fan?
Yeah.
Okay. How do they fix the players sitting out these games? Because it seems it's becoming a real issue where the back-to-backs, the Stars just aren't playing these games. And I feel bad. Like, I had this problem last year. We went to a Hornets game, and LeBron, it was a Lakers, I'm a Lakers fan, Lakers-Hornets game, and LeBron and AD both didn't play. And I paid good money for seats, brought my kid. And it's like, well, I'm here to watch Westbrook and four backups play. That kind of stinks. I didn't go this year. I also wasn't in town. LeBron had like 47 points in Charlotte too, which is the funniest thing this year. But I can afford to lose $500. I like on a game like that. Imagine if you're not of my tax bracket and you spend all this money to go to a game and no one plays in the game. It's terrible for the fans.
I know. Imagine if like, oh, you know, Mahomes is coming to Houston this week. He's going to sit. We're just going to sit Mahomes, give him a little bit of extra rest. Like, it's just so crazy when you compare it with the NFL. I mean, I know they just talked about this on Simmons' podcast. Maybe that's part of a reason you're bringing
no,
up.
No, I don't listen to much of the NBA stuff yet.
Well, someone on the show suggested, I can't remember who it was, suggested they do know a lot of the games where they're going to sit guys, right? Like, they at the beginning of the season.
It's all planned out, yes.
It's like, can't you just announce that? With, you know, with all of it, you don't even have to say like, well, LeBron only, but if you say like, you know, barring injury, another injury to any of these guys, because this is ostensibly like for health management, like LeBron's not playing in Charlotte. So just that's just like good to know. And then you can look at the tickets and be like, oh, interesting. This ticket price is really low. Yeah. I bet LeBron's not playing and you can confirm it.
But everyone, the problem is everyone would, the whole league would make less money because no one would go to the games.
Right. Which is, I mean, I honestly, like, I keep up with basketball pretty well, but it, because of this problem now, there's no reason to follow it until after the Super Bowl. None. There's no reason at all. Just check in. You're like, oh, okay. Like, this is about where things are. And then the last month of the season, everything kind of crystallizes. And then even the first round or two of the playoffs don't really seem to matter. And then it really heats up and it's incredible. Yeah.
So I've always felt this way about the NBA. Not always. I take it back. Like the last 3 or 4 years. And I watch all sports. Like I'm a sports fan. But I spend so much time on football that I catch up on basketball after the Super Bowl for the most part. I have to watch Pac-12 basketball, unfortunately, for work, or at least pay attention to it at least enough. Is the NBA playoffs, like let's say today, was the last day of NBA regular season. And then Saturday was the first day of the playoffs. The two sports do not look the same.
Yep.
Like Saturday of the NBA playoffs looks nothing like Thursday of the regular season. That's my problem. Like the NFL looks exactly, now you have better players playing, but the sport looks the same. But then you get to the playoffs in NBA, like why watch the regular season if you're like a casual fan like me?
Like,
there's no point because I'm going to watch a better product in the postseason. I'm going to watch guys play defense in the postseason. So defense, I mean, I'm not saying you have to play defense all the time, but it's like a whole different product in the postseason. I just feel like the product is not great right now. And I get it. They make a ton of money. NBA bros are going to be pissed at this. They get so angry when I tweet about the NBA. It's like a weird thing. NBA bros on Twitter, I get angry, man.
Yeah, everyone's so defensive about
I'm a casual fan. Like, the NBA, me watching is what the NBA wants. Like casual, kind of a casual fan. Like I like watching sports. I like watching good players play sports. But NBA regular season to me is I don't know. Can I give you my one old man grab about the NBA?
Please.
The uniform, too many uniforms. I can't, if I turn on a game and I don't know who's playing, like I don't know who the home or away team is, it bothers me.
I'm with you. I feel that way about some of these NFL uniforms too. It's like,
Time I turned on a game and I could have sworn the Vancouver Grizzlies were playing. I think it was like the Phoenix Suns. I'm like, what? I'm like, what? What? Why are the Milwaukee Bucks wearing the Lakers uniforms?
It's so insane, dude.
I looked it up last year. They're technically their color is from the old Laker uniform. Like that's where the Lakers obviously came from. Like that's technically in their color scheme is the blue they're wearing. They never wore it before. Sometimes I can't do it. I'm like, who's playing who? What's happening here? It's so confusing to me.
What was the game? It was towards the end of the season. There was some like old school in the NFL. Was it like the Browns logo or maybe it was the Giants? There was some dumb logo that everyone was wearing. And it was like a really important game. And
this season,
the Patriots logo, it was something. Maybe it was the Browns and it was the end of the year. And it had like a mascot on it that I'd never seen before. And I'm like, guys, It's week 17, week 18. This game matters for playoff seeding.
Wait, this year?
Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but if you're ever like, what team is this? Especially in the NFL, it's like, it's just not worth it.
Well, I've also thought like the TCU helmets in the championship game. I'm like, is that what is that in your helmet?
Yeah, I know. Well, there's also an Oregon fan here confused by too many uniforms.
Time out. Maryland fan with your freaking helmets. Let's take a deep breath here with those helmets.
Dude,
okay,
we got to get us some attention on Maryland. Like, we just got to, we're just trying to get ourselves out there. The flag helmet's brutal.
The flag helmet's great.
The flag helmet stinks.
Oh,
man, that's an asinine take.
I think we can agree that Texas has the worst uniforms in college football.
I mean, Texas certainly has the worst fan.
Too bland and boring. All right, that's my old man NBA take. The uniforms are out of control. There's too much. Welcome to Jeff Schwartz's Smart on You NBA takes.
There we go. So your prediction officially for the Super
Bowl?
I'm
gonna go Eagles Chiefs.
I'm gonna go Eagles Bengals barely.
Yeah, the Bengals game will be better. I'm trying to do a live show after the game, so we'll see if that works. It's earlier than usual. Well, than a Sunday night football game, so I should be able to do that. We'll see what happens. All right, everyone, have a great weekend of watching sports. We'll be back in a couple of days. Have a great one. Take care, everyone.
See you later.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.